You're listening to an Anna's Books podcast.
Hey guys, it's Aiden of Aiden's Books, and I'm here with Mommy.
Welcome to Parenting and Bonding with Children's Books.
Our episodes are recorded first via video. For the full experience, check out the video interview on my Facebook page, Aiden's Books. Next, you'll hear Mommy doing the interview. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, welcome, everybody, to the Parenting and Bonding with Children's Books podcast, where we believe that books are magic and have the power to transform homes. On this podcast, we talk to the authors behind the magic to find out their true intentions behind the books. And we are here tonight to talk with Anna Marie DiDio. Did I say your last name correctly there?
That's correct. Thank you.
Okay. Wonderful. So how are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much.
No problem. I'm so excited to speak with you today. I know when I first learned about your work, I was just so intrigued by your story. So I'm going to give a basic introduction to Anna, and I will let her just tell us our story once I give the basic introduction. So Anna Maria DiDio, MSW, is an author and adoptive mother. She holds a BA in psychology and an MSW in family specialization. So she was inspired to write her memoir, Love at the Border, an adoption adventure after her own family journey to Mexico. And I believe that it is your journey to Mexico that brings us here tonight to talk about your life adventures, children's books that feature stories about adoption, foster care, stepchildren, and all blended families from the point of view of the child. And I love that, from the point of view of the child. So tell us a bit more about yourself, Anna.
Well, first of all, thank you for that introduction. It's very nice to be here with you, focusing on children's books, which I also agree are magic. And that was after my memoir. I knew that I had more to say about how adopted children acclimate to their families. Perhaps you've heard of the primal wound, and that's really the child's reaction to being separated from his or her biological parent, biological mother. And just that the all adoption begins with separation, loss, and trauma. And that, you know, comes out during, whether it's at birth or later adoption later in life, as our family experienced. And I wanted to give a voice to that adopted child. So to open the conversation in families about how difficult this process is.
I think that it's so important, and I love the focus and the focus on this, you know, for your children's book, of course, and you speak from experience. I know that we've seen many times, I myself am not an adoptive mother, but, you know, I've seen real life situations in movies, right, where we see how hard it is for adoptive children to acclimate to the home. And so this is, you know, really interesting. So your book, Many People to Love, you said you had it with you. Can you show us your book?
How the light is, but it's you can see the people on the cover.
Yes, we can see.
Artist is wonderful. And the request at the time I was looking for an artist was for realistic portrayal of a family. You know, many children's authors, I love cartoons, I love animals, I love all those stories. But for this particular message, I was looking for the realistic portrayal of a family and, you know, obviously the scenes of what they go through coming together as a family.
Okay. And you write from the point of view of the child. So in this book, we meet Carla, and she's the main character of your story, correct?
Yes. Carla, okay. Adopted from Colombia.
Okay. And we talk about her adjustment to her new family. Can you tell us a bit more about Carla?
Well, as you pointed out, of course, Carla is inspired by our real family events. And imagine, you know, at 6 or 7 years old, we met our daughter in Mexico at age 6. And then we, by the time we adopted her and all the paperwork was finished, she was about 7. So she lived her entire life in Mexico. And then one day she's in suburban Philadelphia. Wow. So I don't know if I appreciated how difficult that was. And the purpose of the book is giving voice to that and just the barriers and the challenges that are there for that child, including language, food, and just family, you know, customs and culture. So it was just everything that happened in the book happened to our family. And that's why the book will be a series. I want to portray other types of blended families and other situations as well.
Okay. I was going to ask you about that. I saw that it was a series. I was wondering if you could share what the next plans for the books. But before we get there, I love that you are paying keen attention to giving a voice to the child. I think that in this day and age, we're giving a lot more attention to the feelings and emotions of children and really paying attention to how different situations affect them. Because I think that years ago was more so like, you know, you're to stay in a child's place or what do you know, about life and things like that. And it's important for us to really, really think about just what our children are going through in their hearts and in their minds. So I know that we talk about in your book, you put some tools in there for parents as well. And one of the things that you say is that, if you don't mind me, I'm just reading that real quick. The book helps to open a parent-child discussion on a wide range of behaviors, emotions, and feelings that are part of the adoption process. So if I can ask about your journey, like specifically, or just some things you've seen, what were the main things that you think you saw or that you struggled with as a family and eventually recovered from?
Well, you're so right to focus on that, because the myth of adoption or the conversation around adoption at the time was, oh, she's so lucky that she has you as a family. Isn't this great that you've adopted her? And it is wonderful. And there are many loving, emotional, and positive feelings. We started the process wanting a sibling for our biological child. And just have a, you know, to add to that family unit was just tremendous. But the reason I wanted to portray this, to give a voice to the adopted child, is that, you know, she, and just like my daughter, she had many things to tell me through the years. And I don't think I was listening initially. And this is, if these situations actually happen to us, and if the parent takes the time to read and discuss and really think these things through, I think that will help help the relationship and help with the adjustments.
Yeah, I know you talk about in the book just how everything just felt so unfamiliar to her. And so you go through different topics. You talk about the food and the culture and her whole adjustment. What is one of your, from your book, maybe your, so when I'm talking with the author in person, I'm like, what's your favorite spread or what's your favorite page? If you can just give us some insight, what's your favorite thing about your book? I don't know if I asked that correctly, but we'll get to it.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I love to cook.
And, okay.
And, you know, you can tell from my name, our family has part Italian heritage. And when we served Italian food, even though there are so many similarities to Mexican food, think about it, she would hate it. And I thought, this is okay. More about the food. Isn't this interesting? And she would only really eat the Mexican food that I prepared. And so it really made me stop and think, you know, what is happening here? And I tried to involve her more in our cooking and food prep and deciding. And just that one little thing became such a, you know, a hurdle and a focal point that I maybe didn't stop to examine that soon enough. But that it to portray that, to give, again, give parents the thought that, you know, your favorite foods and your favorite things to eat and do may not be high on that child's list. and for a reason. And sometimes, you know, the child is just taking a stand because it's different and it's, and yeah, they're not ready, or there's so many trusting tests of you know, a parent's will to add to their family. And all those things need to be really taken slowly and one at a time, even though the book's only 700 words. But
yeah,
I say it's a chance. It's a chance to just begin those conversations and affirm that behavior and invite your child to cry and maybe act badly and, you know, recover from that. There's real joy in that.
You know, it's so good that you said that. And it's funny you said that the book is only 700 words, but we often talk about on this show and in our communities how the book, like you said, is just a starting point. We use it as a tool, and we talk about our engage method in our group, you know, just the process or method we use to make story time fun and engaging. And the whole premise is to invite your child into the book with you. So to notice things in the book,
yes,
to find similarities, pull out stories, tell personal stories. And I see this book as such an awesome tool, not just for adoptive families or blended families, but for any family, so that children can start to understand differences. Maybe families, we had an author on the other day who talked about what family is supposed to look like and what she grew up believing family was supposed to look like. And, you know, whenever she saw like a different type of family, she thought that it wasn't normal. And so we really have to begin these conversations in our home about families being different from maybe what our family looks like. So this is just, I'm really looking forward. I mean, we're not even 15 minutes into the interview, but I'm really looking forward to how you portray all these different types of blended families and all the tools that you'll be providing to parents in order to have these conversations.
Well, it's interesting that, not to jump too far ahead, but the next book, right, you know, I've given a lot of thought to, mm-hmm, and the next book will focus on, you know, Carla's thoughts about her birth mom. You know, even though she was raised in a loving environment, and this again is similar to our own experience, but you know, a child comes from a loving environment because we adopted her at age 7, as I said. Mm-hmm. But even if adopted at infancy, an adopted child is going to think about her, his or her biological roots, and when, you know, the title of the book is How I Wonder Where You Are. And it's,
oh gosh, that's so touching. Just I'm sorry, I'm listening.
And my thought there is, you know, invite your child to wonder. This is not, you know, I've read articles, oh, you know, it's the birth mom is kept at arm's length. And I understand there's, yeah, so many issues with, you know, either open adoptions and all that, but a child is going to be thinking about those roots. And that is going to be the purpose of the book, that those thoughts are not going to stop just because my daughter loves me and I know, and I love her, but she's going to have these thoughts about who's out there, who gave birth to me? Who do I look like? What does she sound like? And so anyway, that's the exploration that's going to continue in Carla's mind. And with her mom, hopefully giving her space to do that. But just like the behaviors here, she needed space, you know, to do that, to see the bad behavior for what it was, just testing, and again, hopefully talk about it and recover.
You know, I feel led to share, and I will share with you and the audience that I do. I have a younger sister who was adopted to another family when we were just, you know, toddlers. And I don't feel comfortable sharing her story in particular, but I will say I grew up in a blended family with my birth mother and my stepfather. And he is wonderful. He always has been. I look at him as my father, but I always, always, always in the back of my mind wondered what my birth father was like. Did I look like his siblings? Did he have siblings? Do I look like his grandmother? Some of the traits that I didn't feel like I got from my mom, did I get them from him? Like, where did they come from?
That was so moon in your mind.
Yeah, it's always going on. And just recently, only about a year ago, I would say, I found my birth father. I won't talk about how it went, but it didn't go well. But I found him. And I just felt like it was a chapter that I was able to close, but I still wonder some of the same things. So I don't think it's good, because sometimes as parents, we want to wipe the other. We want our children to forget, because it's easier for us.
Shut the door. Yeah.
Yeah. It's easier for us because we don't have to deal with those emotions that we don't understand ourselves. But shutting that off only causes problems in the future. Because then the child has all these unresolved emotions and unresolved issues inside of them. And so books like this are just so important. So if you can, I know you talk about in the book also, because I want you guys to really check this out, whether you are an adoptive parent or not. I know that you put a letter to parents also in the back of your book to talk about some of your top five reminders for every adoptive or blended family. Would you be able to share one of those?
Well, it's really a matter of the fundamental one that I love to say is just being honest. And there are times where you'll obviously get hard questions. And sometimes, you know, I brought up things. I've brought up to my daughter, would you like me to help you look for your biological? And so she has said no, but she was raised by caregivers in Mexico. And over the years, we've kept in touch with them and we have visited them. She, you know, she did a study abroad and was there. So,
okay, that's interesting.
You know, and I think initially I would have been like, maybe perhaps jealous, like, oh, does she want to spend more time in Mexico than here? And all that is just, I was honest with myself that those feelings were there. But when it came right down to it, I just encouraged her to do what she wanted to do. And I encouraged her to make a decision about who she wanted to keep in touch with. And that's really paid off. So.
Yeah, thank you. And you also added in some adoption resources, which I know will be especially helpful to a lot of the families that are watching. And so I don't know if we really, when we first met or when we first reached out to each other, you shared your story. Like, I know you said that you wanted to kind of add to your family, but can you tell us more about maybe your story? What led you to adopt?
Well, it began with infertility. I mean, when I was first married, I had years of infertility, which is very isolating, very depressing. When you're going through it, you think you're the only one. And finally, our efforts resulted in a beautiful baby girl. So, but by that point, you know, time had passed, and we started to look into adoption and look into the various resources that were out there. And we did try a few domestic connections, and with one agency that we applied to, ended up closing. And then we thought that actually foster to adopt was not for us. And as time passed, our focus began with focusing on an older child. So through a church connection, we became aware of the agency that dealt with some Mexican orphanages, and we applied immediately. So it, as I said, it really began with not being able to have the family that we wanted. We wanted a sibling for our daughter. And so this was the great solution.
Yeah. What is the domestic connection?
We had a friend that was an attorney actually in New Mexico, and another friend that was an attorney in Pennsylvania, and just began to investigate state laws around adopting infants through an open adoption process or a foster child. So the foster situation actually was, I was told that my home state would be the state where I was best to pursue that. But by then We had found the International Adoption Connection and decided to go with that.
Okay, domestic as in, okay. Got you. All right. I was, as soon as you said, I was like, what is that? Okay. And for families looking to adopt, I know you said there's this myth around adoption. What advice would you offer to any parent or any family looking to adopt?
Well, of course, go into it knowing that this is a process that will challenge you through the years. And this is not something that will just be a seamless addition to your family. And these children, some come with, physical or other challenges. And depending on the age of the child and the health of the child, there are many things to consider. But just be honest with yourselves as to what you can handle. And then reach out to professionals and support among your own network or support from professionals as you go through, as that child develops.
Mm-hmm. Or even, I don't know if you would recommend, but even professionals for the child, right? Okay. To help them work through their emotions as well.
Oh, yes. We had therapists throughout our own journey. And okay. I thought, well, this, as much as I love our little girl and try to talk to her about different things, there may be things that she didn't want to tell me. So we did, mm-hmm. over the years, we had therapists. So that journey actually is part of my memoir, Love at the Border. And she's just an unbelievable kid, I will say, from, funny, spunky, precocious. And she's just been, we were either crying or screaming or laughing at any point in our family life. But we did seek out the support of professionals as she went through various her own issues. So it was, and her own adjustments. And she's really a great kid.
Awesome. And so you mentioned your memoir. Can you tell us, if you don't mind, I know this is a children's book podcast, but parents are watching. Can you tell us a bit about your first book?
Yes. Well, when we were in Mexico beginning the process and meeting these unbelievable women who are caring for these children in the orphanage, I just was just so fascinated by the way they handled themselves and just the whole experience. And I began to put a journal together. And then when our daughter arrived in our home over a year later, just the challenges were, it was a little bit of therapy for me to kind of document what the challenges were and what we did and our feelings and emotions. And for, she cried for months on end. And it was, at the time, you just don't think it's going to end, but we persevered. And again, the process for us was ultimately rewarding, but filled with stories and challenges that I think other parents could benefit from. Mm-hmm. And I just loved telling the story. And now she's 26 years old and doing well.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing about your first book. I wonder if we have children's book authors in our community as well. Your journey as a writer, if you could give any advice to anybody who has a story inside them that need to get it out, what would you say?
Well, begin with the journal. The just writing, often we're very critical of our own efforts and, I can't write or I don't know what to write. But just sometimes little snippets of phrases, I kept a smaller little book with me that just would be funny things my daughter would say as she learned English and observations about food or whatever. It was just, she made us laugh so much, but journaling is really the first step, and it really does help with coping and understanding what's happening. Sometimes I would go back and read what we said to each other from what I noted or noted my feelings at some point. And as I began to put together the chapters, I decided to work with an editor that was professional and knew a little bit more than I did. And she said to me, this is good. And this is an interesting story, but if you're not going to be honest and open about your feelings, your challenges and what, what you want, the decisions that you had to make, then no one's going to read this. Mm-hmm. So it had me really start over in the book and point out the areas where I was maybe superficially addressing something or not being honest about my feelings or not owning up to something. And it really was a kind of a fascinating exercise. So I pulled it all together. And at the end, you know, I did enjoy writing it, but it's still a lot of work to be writing, because it's not, you have to do it on your, no one else is going to do it. You could hire someone to do it, but mostly it's a solo endeavor.
Yeah. And just to go back to your book, your children's book, Many People to Love, you've answered this in a few different ways, but if I said to you, what do you hope your book encourages? How would you answer that?
Just without a doubt, just communication between parent and child. Sometimes, you know, especially if there are other siblings involved, perhaps the family is used to doing things one way. And we had another child and we thought, well, why doesn't our younger daughter, why doesn't she like to do this or that? And just the open and honest communication, just in reading the book, hopefully it will open some of those conversations. And as I said, it's the path to love and understanding.
Yes, thank you so much. Can you show your cover one more time for the people watching? And your book can be found. Where can it be found?
It's on Amazon and soon to be in other places. But right now, for sale, Amazon. There is an e. Most people like the paperback, but there is an e version. But I do have the. You can see these. I don't know if you can see that. These are the covers of the other two books. How I Wonder Where You Are and Love at the Border.
Okay. Do you have a release date for those books just yet?
Love at the Border is also available on Amazon. And the release date for the new children's book will be either probably late summer.
Okay. Thank you. So you guys can find Anna Maria DiDio at www.amdidio.com. And for those who are just listening to the audio, that's AMDIDIO. I just wanted to sing a song right there.
Everyone else.
I know you probably get that quite a bit. It didn't come to me until I was spelling it. So AMDIDIO.com. And Anna says that she is most active on Instagram. So if you guys are on Instagram, you can find her there as well. It's the same spelling, AMDIDIO. Is there anything else that you want to share with our audience about your books or about you?
Well, on your Facebook, well, if you, I'm also on Facebook, but, you know, as I go through this journey writing about blended families, I'm very interested in other stories. I have less experience with stepchildren and foster children. And if there is a nugget of wisdom that any of your moms or dads or maybe even older children would like to share, I'd be happy to hear that. Private message me on Facebook, friend me, and I'd love to kind of gather those nuggets as I begin to formulate what I'd like to say in my next adventure series. So please share.
Awesome. I know that we have a bunch of different types of families in our Facebook communities and listening to the podcast. So guys, make sure you get in contact with Anna if you have anything that you would like to share, and make sure you check out her website as well as find her books on Amazon. And we are looking forward to your next release in late summer. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Oh, no problem. Okay. Bye, everybody.